This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Eric, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Mark. How are you doing?
Fantastic. You're back in the district, but not at Busch Stadium. Is that true?
I just flew in, and I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. And then there was a rain delay, but I was in the air, and so I would have loved to be there. But I didn't think it was going to work out. We had votes this afternoon. So anyway,
I also think what I heard there is the Mark Reardon show is far more important than me
of
going
course.
To a baseball game. Yeah.
Of course.
Well, let me start. I heard you on Laura's show last night. You did great. I want to talk about some of the stuff that is related to what's going on with Signal, et cetera. But let's talk about the F-47 because you played a huge role. This is a big deal for the country. It's certainly a big deal for St. Louis.
It is. It's a huge deal for St. Louis. I mean, if you think about it, the F-15 that they're still making at Boeing was awarded in the early 1970s. I mean, this is a generational kind of award of a contract for the men and women of this region. I had an uncle that worked at McDonnell Douglas for years. It's just been iconic, and we build the best aircraft in the world, military aircraft. And so this is the most advanced aircraft in the history of the world. It'll fly faster, further, see further, carry a bigger payload, be stealthier than anything the world's ever seen. It's going to be built right here in St. Louis. So we're really proud of that. And Holloman had an article that kind of, I guess, sort of chronicled a little bit of it. We're really working on this. The Biden administration wanted to pause it. We made sure there was money in it. Talked to Pete Hegseth even during his confirmation hearing about it. Talked to President Trump about it. I mean, this was a big deal for me. It was a big deal for our state. So I'm thrilled that this is just going to be something that's, I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs. It's a $20+ billion contract. It's $100+ billion in investment, all the indirect jobs associated with this. And I think this plays into, I talked to you about this a little bit before last year, really we have the chance to be the defense tech capital of the United States of America because we've got Boeing, we've got NGA West, we've got the Taylor Geospatial Institute. There's a lot of things happening in St. Louis that I think are cause for optimism.
One of the things that Joe highlighted in his piece in the Post, Holloman, he talked about how you kind of worked on this with other members of Congress. You mentioned Roger Wicker of Mississippi. You're obviously on the Armed Services Committee. He's on that committee. I think he's was the ranking Republican before things changed over here. But you guys worked together on this to a certain extent?
Yeah, so Roger Wicker from Mississippi is now the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. We brought him in to St. Louis in the fall to meet, to get a briefing on this at Boeing to kind of see the progress of what their investment already was and the jobs that could be associated with this, and certainly wanted to have Senator Wicker on our side, and he was very helpful. He was also helpful during the NDAA, which we do every June, which sort of authorizes the nearly $900 billion worth of spending we do for our national defense. And so kind of talk to him about the things that are happening in Missouri. We've got a lot going on here. In addition to the veterans and the people who are actively serving right now from Missouri, you know, we've got Whiteman Air Force Base, which is the home of the B-2 stealth bomber. That is going to be replaced with the B-21 stealth bomber, the next generation bomber. That will also be at Whiteman Air Force Base. And now we've got the F-47, that'll be produced here in addition to the F-15EX that they build there, all the other aircraft. So there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of discussion about, you know, really revitalizing our military industrial base. It's really important, and I think St. Louis can really be at the epicenter of that. That's certainly one of the things that I'm pushing for, and I'm just trying to bring as many allies on board as possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know that one of the things that the article mentioned is that when Senator Wicker came to St. Louis, that you toured the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Are you under the impression at this point that are there potentially DOGE cuts to that group? Because that was something that people kind of spread a few weeks ago, and I don't know if that was factual at all. Do you know anything?
I think people have thrown that out. I don't think so. Yeah. And really, really, what the center of what DOGE is doing, the best way to think about it is this. We took in about $4 trillion, or I'm sorry, we spent about $4 trillion in 2019. So pre-pandemic spending, we spent $4 trillion, okay? We take in $5 trillion now. We spend $7 trillion. So really what we're trying to do is to get to pre-pandemic levels plus inflation, not touch Medicaid, not touch Social Security, not touch Medicare, and get to a place where in a few years we can actually have a balanced budget. And so the number of positions created by the Biden administration, the number of jobs, positions, and the amount of money that was spent in the federal government over a four-year period is astounding, Mark. And so really what we're trying to do is we can't spend $2 trillion more than we take in every year. It's just not sustainable. So if you want to understand why inflation is so high, it's because we squeezed energy production and we spent all that money. And if we rein that in and we open up energy production, we're going to be more prosperous than we've ever been. So NGA West, it plays a really important role in our national defense. If you think about the strategic missile launches that happen around the world, including that happens here. Project Maven, which is sort of a very top secret effort in the United States, that happens here. So all of those assets, the skilled labor associated with that, we can expand that and blow that out in this region, and again be a tech hub. We know we're going to need to modernize. We know we're going to be more nimble. We know we need procurement reform and all that. A lot of that can happen here in St. Louis.
It's awesome. Great. Senator Eric Schmidt is with us. So let me take you to the signal controversy. Like I said, I thought you did a great job on Laura's show last night. But the night before, I kind of listened to her because, you know, I'm leaving here and I always want to check out who she has on. And she had Mike Walls on. And I indicated this even to Brian Kilmeade last night. That was no softball interview. She asked tough questions, good questions. Still some mystery outside of, you know, this information being shared. I think the focus is how did Jeffrey Goldberg, the Trump hater, who is not just a reporter for The Atlantic, but he's one of the, you know, he's the chief editor over there. How did he land in this chat? Now, I think people have gone back and forth on whether this was classified information, if it wasn't classified information. I think you've admitted, and other Republicans, and I certainly have, this was a serious thing. It's not to be overlooked whatsoever, but they're calling for resignations and stuff like that right now, Senator.
Yeah, they're blowing it out of proportion because they have nothing else to talk about. They have no leader. They have no agenda. They're a party defined by really fringe issues. None of these journalists, I mean, I said it last night on the show, and again today, we had an armed services hearing today with some of the undersecretaries that are going through confirmation, and the press is just sort of camped out on Capitol Hill to ask about people resigning and da-da-da. And I made the point again, like, none of these journalists asking these questions never lifted a finger to investigate that the, you know, commander in chief couldn't put two sentences together for 4 years. He had his finger on the nuclear arsenal, and evidently everything, you know, he's president auto pen. Like, it's insane. So look, clearly this was a mistake to add the reporter in, but the Biden administration okayed Signal to be used as an app, you know, it's double encrypted. It's end-to-end encrypted. To have policy conversations. There wasn't top secret information involved here. There weren't, you know, not routes. There wasn't the sort of the war plans that you would see when you're in a truly secure environment. Now, again, it was a mistake to have them on there. There's no doubt about that. But I think the Democrats are blowing this out because they have nothing and they want to fill that void with this, as opposed to, by the way, a very successful effort to take out the Houthis, an organization that's been firing drones at our aircraft carriers and our military personnel, and Joe Biden didn't do anything about it. They were funded by the Iranians. They still are funded by the Iranians, who were broke under President Trump, who then, when they, you know, sort of didn't enforce the sanctions, got rich and funded Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. So President Trump's been decisive. He's taken action. That gets lost in all this because they're trying to make this into something much bigger than it is.
Look, this is the same crew. This is why some of this, well, not some of it, a lot of it falls flat with not only you, me, but a lot of people. The same people that are screaming about national security were perfectly okay with literally millions of people, including men from China, you know, Chinese nationals crossing our border over the last 4 years. They didn't want to investigate that at all. They just wanted to blame Republicans for not signing a bill that clearly wouldn't have made a difference because President Trump has closed the border successfully and the crossings in February were at like an all-time low.
Yeah, not only that, when Lloyd Austin went MIA as the Secretary of Defense, it was the hospital,
a
couple of weeks,
yeah.
didn't notify the President of the United States. They weren't doing journalism. the Afghanistan, the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, there was no, like, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalism to uncover how the heck that happened. And a lot of men and women lost their lives, actually, that instance, including Jared Schmitz from this area. So, again, it's just, to your point, was this a mistake to add the journalist? Yes. Is this thing been blown out of proportion to score political points? Of course. And that's just sort of the state of play.
What would you say, before I let you go, one question, just because this is certainly an area that I'm a little uncomfortable with this administration. And admittedly, I'm not an expert on tariffs, but the tariffs make people nervous. Blake Hurst, who's a farmer here in Tarkio Center, I don't know if you know Blake, but he's been on the show before. He wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal last week about how some of this stuff is hurting farmers. Obviously, the announcement yesterday was on the auto industry. Some of this certainly will end up in helping American workers, but I'm guessing you've had some people express some concern about the tariffs.
Yeah, I think, though, that here's the way I would try to describe it, and this is probably a longer form conversation, but if you think about it, after World War II, the United States gave Europe and Japan a lot of breaks so they could get back on their feet. We were very clear-eyed about beating Soviet communism. After the Berlin Wall goes down, after the Cold War ends, we had a foreign policy then that never really changed. We had an economic policy that never really changed. The globalists got in charge of all these institutions where borders didn't matter. We were getting ripped off, but it didn't matter because we were supposedly building goodwill. But the trade deals that were executed for a long, long time and the barriers that were created that we never challenged really hampered our ability to produce things. It was devastating for places across this country as those jobs then went overseas. They went to China. We let China into the World Trade Organization. We let China rip us off for decades. We let Europe, by the way, you can't sell an American car in Europe. So what's happening now? President Trump is essentially saying, this is the, if you want to think about it, we've got the best economy in the world. Everybody wants to sell our stuff here. If you want to do business here, maybe there's a membership fee to be able to do it, but we're going to treat you like you treat us. And the net result of that is going to be one of two things. One is the trade barriers are going to come down. We have more access to more markets for our farmers and our ranchers. Number two, there'll be greater investment here because our policy will be, if you want to make stuff here in the United States, if you want to be an American business, things are going to be great for you. If you don't, all bets are off, right? All bets are off. So what do you see then? Honda's decided to build their plant here and not in Mexico. Mercedes-Benz has decided to build their plant here, not in Mexico. Apple's decided to, you know, invest hundreds of billions of dollars here, not in China. TCM that makes the superconductor chips, they're going to do it here now, not somewhere else. You're seeing NVIDIA that makes the really high-end chips. They're going to make the investment here. So companies are making the bet now that this is the best place to do it. They don't want to risk those other issues because these other countries have messed around for too long with us, and it's been too expensive for us to get our goods to other markets. So I think those barriers are going to come down. We're going to produce more things in this country. And ultimately, this is a new phase. And we're moving away from this globalist ideology that's hurt too many working folks across the country, including in Missouri.
Well stated, Senator Eric Schmidt. By the way, the Cardinals are up 1-0 on the Twins. So there's some good news right there. Awesome to have you.
Sonny Gray
on
the mound.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's good, right? Couple innings and no runs up from Sonny Gray. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. We'll see you soon, okay?
All right, guys.
All right, take care.